Coach, is going to be longer than we thought. You still have time to get your questions in at djatthemix93.com.
When you need to dress up for an upcoming interview, wedding, or that special date, don't wait. Come to the Dress for Success shop located in the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore. See the largest selection of business apparel in the Keweenaw. Suits, sport coats, dress coats, dress shirts, ties, slacks, shoes, socks, and belts. Tailoring is available, so stop in the Dress for Success shop and let them fit you perfectly. Hours are 8 till 5 Monday through Friday, noon till 4 Saturday. The public is always welcome. Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room. The smile that captivates, that instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Matlock, Doctors Fisher, Tony Sarazen, and Joe Strong can give you that superior smile. Superior Smiles, Family Dentistry in Hancock. Call today for your superior smile. 482-3621. The Silverado 1500 was built to be strong. Strong enough to be named North American Truck of the Year. And now they're getting even stronger with two more ways to flex more muscle. The new 2015 Silverado 2500 Heavy Duties. Both come with available Allison Transmission and Duramax Diesel. Legendary names backed by over 100 billion miles of real world experience. Strong just got stronger. Stop by Kissel Chevy in Calumet and see Charlie, Dave, or Mario.
Welcome back to the Mel Pearson Show. Coach is with us by telephone today because they have practice going on in just a little bit. So we're cruising through here and talking about Saturday night's game against ninth-ranked Minnesota State. The Huskies coming in ranked 1, Minnesota State ranked 9. Huskies fell by a 2-1 count on Friday night. Great game on Saturday night. Overall, Coach, we've mentioned this many times, and I know you have too. Overall, a much better performance, I thought, by the Huskies.
Well, I thought so too, Dirk. I there wasn't a lot going on as far as offensive scoring chances over the first two periods. I thought both teams, were a little tired from the first night. I thought it was a heck of a game on Friday night, and it takes a lot out of you, and you got to come back and then do it all over again. And I thought the first two periods were a little bit of a chess match. You know, there wasn't a lot going on. I think both teams are playing so hard defensively. It was tough to penetrate, through that defense and get many good scoring opportunities. But after viewing the game and watching it again, and I thought our team played hard and played well. And even though we didn't create as many chances, I just thought we did a lot of really good things in the game on Saturday.
Well, we got through the first period, no score again between these two teams. We outshoot them 8-6, so like you said, very even up there. We get the first goal of the game. Again, it's Alex Patan. This time, a great play. Malcolm Gould gets the assist, and here it was to give the Huskies their second 1-0 lead of the weekend.
Shot back inside with Sweeney. We'll pick it up for the Michigan Tech Huskies. Watson taking his time. We'll dump it down, and this will not be icing, as getting back in time to pick it up will be Nelson. Takes a hit. Gould to the front of the net. Shot!
Well, there's my I have a petition signed, Coach, for the last I don't know how many years, that people should be allowed to get assists even if they don't touch the puck. And that would be Tanner Carroll should have gotten an assist on that goal, because he was the one that made the hit down there that caused the defenseman to fumble the puck a little bit, allowing for Malcolm Gould to dish the puck out in front and then the goal.
Yeah, it was a great forecheck by Tanner. And we talked about, from Friday night to Saturday night, that we had to put more pressure on them on our forecheck. Our first guy was always doing a good job, but our second guy was a little late getting to the party, so to speak. And I thought Malcolm did a good job reading this, and he picked up. They tried to go D to D, so both their defensemen got trapped behind the net. And when Tanner got a piece of their defenseman and was able to, put some pressure on him, he fumbled a little bit, and Malcolm was there to intercept the D-to-D pass and obviously fed it to Alex Patan, who was Johnny on the spot, and he's good around that net, and that was a heck of a goal. I mean, you're not going to see many guys score a goal like that. It was bang-bang, and it was up top and over Williams, and he didn't have much time or space there. I mean, he was so tight to the goal that you had to get that puck up in a hurry, and Alex knows what to do it in that situation. And that was a huge goal. I mean, if someone would have told me that, you would get the lead both nights, in those games, would you take that? Would you have a good chance to win? And I would have said absolutely. And I thought that was a key to the was going to be a key to the weekend, that we get the lead and play from in front. And we both nights, though, we just didn't sustain that lead, and it was a little disappointing.
Jordan Nelson gets the first goal of the game for the Mavericks, and shortly after that, Patan goal. Patan's goal came at 5:29, 7:22 the time of Jordan Nelson's goal, to tie it up 1-1.
Slid over now for the Mavericks and dumped in. Phillips trying to stop it behind the net. Will, and finds out he's got to play it. Watch out. Pass to the front of the goal, and a loose puck at the side of the net. Phillips is laying down the wrong way. No whistle yet, and they're going to call a goal. Oh, my goodness. The Huskies are going to be furious about this, but the Mavericks have right now tied it up 1-1.
Well, that was just a strange play. I knew, you know, everybody kind of felt when Jamie went out and then, you know, didn't get past that guy that there might be problems, and there certainly was. And I thought I was just waiting for a whistle to sound, and we just never got one, Coach.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm going to be careful what I say about this goal, but I did not like the goal, and I will be calling the head of officials about that. There are a number of things I didn't like about it. Number one is that there was no whistle. I mean, you know, Jamie did not get a by their player on the forecheck, and he just threw it at the net and caught Jamie a little bit in between, did not get back to the net. And but after viewing it several times, I get the luxury of watching it over and over and over and playing it frame by frame. And, you know, the puck was underneath Jamie. At that time, the referee was in poor position. He could not see if he had it frozen or not. He was in the opposite corner, so there's no way he could tell that that puck was under Jamie's pad. And, you know, a couple times you see as he's trying to get in position to see it, he's got his whistle in his mouth. And I just thought we were, you know, unfortunate that we didn't get the whistle there. The second part is their player does knock the net up, stays on the pegs, but the back of the net and the side of the net come up. Now, at that point, it looks like the puck actually does, at some point, enter the net from behind and come out front. And the net does eventually come back down, and that's when their guy, then they have another guy come in, and it's actually standing between Jamie and pushing his pads, basically, trying to get in the net. And at that point, the puck goes in the net. So I didn't like the guys, you know, being able to stand in the crease on top of Jamie without him being able to move. So, you know, I thought you had three factors. The slow whistle with the referee being in poor position. The second one, the net does come up, and it looks like the puck does enter through the net and come in front, which I believe should be an automatic whistle. And then the third thing is obviously the jamming of our goalie and standing in the crease jamming him. So, I mean, there's a number of factors on that goal that I did not like. And, you know, it took them quite a while to review it and look at it. But goals are so critical, Dirk. And that's my point to the referees. Their goals are so critical. It's not like basketball where, you know, if you give up a bucket, you know, you got lots of opportunities to come back and score. It's a high-scoring game. In hockey, it's not a high-scoring game. I mean, one goal is so critical. One goal is usually the difference in a hockey game. You better make sure that you get that right because it is very critical. And obviously, you know, we lost by a goal. And I thought that was a huge point in the game. And I was, you know, obviously visibly upset by that call because I know how important it is. And you got to get it right.
So just so our listeners understand it, and for me too, I do understand that if the net is knocked up and not completely off its moorings, they are allowed to keep the play going, correct?
They are, but when the puck goes...
No, I understand that, yeah.
Back when it goes through the net out front, that should be a whistle. That's
no, absolutely.
Not allowed, you know? If it comes around to the outside or whatever, as long as it doesn't go underneath that, you're fine.
Right.
And that's, my second bone of contention. As long as it doesn't... You know, if the puck was going to go in the net, even if the net is up a little bit or it gets knocked off and the guy shoots it into an open net, but the net would have been stayed in place if it didn't get knocked off. That's a good goal. But anyway, and like I said, I haven't talked to the supervisor yet, but I want to get their take on all this. And I'm still, it's not going to change the result. We lost the game. We had a lot of hockey left, but it's a critical point in a game. And like I said, the goals are so hard to come by and so precious that I just want to make sure they get it right. And I did not like, I mean, you clearly see in the video, the referee is in no position to tell if the puck is frozen to begin with, which it was. And that's anyway, that's the whole start of it.
Well, and I'm actually watching the video right now too, as we talk about it. The
See where the